Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, folks. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. It is Tuesday. We're going to welcome again Dr. Victoria Monlock as our guest. She is a frequent guest of ours, and she's been doing a pretty regular series here on Tuesdays at 12 noon. This is just one of the many things the doctor does on radio. She has her own radio show that she does in her hometown of Waukesha, Wisconsin. And she does a lot of other things for the media to help explain what her medical practice is like. You know, it's very interesting. She's a practicing physician with 35 years of experience specializing in women's health, family medicine, and preventative health and wellness. And her innovative practice format allows her partners to become a partner in their own health care, her patients, rather, to become a partner in their own health care. She's on a mission to empower patients with an understanding of how to work together on medical diagnoses and by educating them on the best steps to take to keeping them healthy. Often the root of it lies in hormone balancing, and she has become a subject matter expert on that subject and that approach. She's written about this in two books for women at different stages in life. She also teaches current and future doctors her approach in professional seminars. She is known as a doctor with a classic, highly devoted approach that is really rare to find in contemporary medicine today. And you would know that if you've listened to her in our various discussions with her. She has pointed out that when she was a teen, there was a television show called Marcus Welby, M.D. on television. It was, I remember it well, it was one of the most popular shows on television. He was known as the doctor that people want to see. There is also that famous picture of a doctor by Norman Rockwell, who reflected a much more humble, kind, and gentle culture. And in it, the doctor is checking a little girl's doll with his stethoscope, with his black travel bag at his feet. And you may wonder what happened to such doctors. But Dr. Monlock points out it is the kind of doctor she wants to be known as. Dr. Vicky, as her patients affectionately call her, believes there's a giant disconnect today between what a patient's perception of good health care is and what the medical field has created now. People want to be heard. They want to take time on their visits with their doctor. They want to have their questions heard and answered. But instead, many times their complaints are dismissed or their treatment is dictated by someone who doesn't feel their pain or live inside their body. And that's really very, very true. Dr. Vicky prefers to be proactive, to make decisions collaboratively with her patients, and to leave people feeling as endeared as those cultural icons of doctors from a past era. I think that's a really great, great thing to point out, that Dr. Vicky is today's version of Dr. Marcus Welby, M.D. Am I right on that, Dr. Vicky? I think I am. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart.
You know, Dr. Welby may have been a television character, but he was referred to as the doctor people wanted to see. Let me ask you, what are some traits that doctors have demonstrated in the past, you know, on television series, that you embrace and you want to see more of in practice today? How about that?
I think first and foremost, it's that patients want somebody who's going to listen to them. They want eye contact. They want to sit across a desk. They want to have that healthcare provider, that physician, looking them straight in the eye and actually hearing them. And they're not looking at their watch. They're not typing in their computer. They're not having somebody else in the room that they say, oh, well, okay, I'm sorry, your time is up. I've got another patient to see. So-and-so, my nurse practitioner, will take it from here. You know, that's very dismissive to a patient. And so instead, if you've screwed up your courage to come in and tell the doctor what you have going on with you, you're pretty much just getting past your name and why you think you're here, and the doctor's got his hand on the doorknob and he's getting ready to walk out. And that's being dismissed. That's being told, you aren't important enough for me to waste my time on. And unfortunately, too many times, that's what happens. And whether it's the real message or the perceived message, that's what a patient feels. And so they're rarely going to come back if that's the treatment they're getting, because they're not being heard in the first place. And their diagnosis given to them might not even pertain, because they haven't even gotten out what some of their issues are before the doctor turns to the nurse practitioner and says, well, the diagnosis is da-da-da-da-da, you know, do my usual treatment for that, and then walks out the door. Well, wow, that's not at all what you thought you were there for. So, you know, it's a disconnect. It's just a total disconnect.
Why do you suppose that is? I mean, is that the way they're teaching doctors in med school these days? That the doctor Welby has is a thing in the past, you know, and
well, you know,
not
what
done
they,
that way?
What they do when they teach docs, and I agree with this, is that you need to be the expert in the room. But that means you also need to be the expert that stays in the room. That's, I think, where things get jaded. And so what you're taught in medical school is to be the expert in the room. Be the smartest person there, because that's what people are coming for, is your knowledge. And but by the same token, you have to learn to listen to the patient, or you may not hear the whole story. And that part isn't taught in medical school, but it's taught once you're out in your job by whoever employs you. Now, if you're in a group that says we value our patients and you get 20 minutes or 30 minutes with your patient, then that message of listening to your patient gets across. And those are usually patients who are loyal, who feel that they've had their issue, you know, heard, they've had a chance to participate in their healthcare, and they're very satisfied with what healthcare it is that they're getting. Those systems that do not value that time with their patient, they value the monetary that comes in, because that patient number 11869 is in room 18, and we have to move that doctor along so he can see X number of patients in the next half hour. That's not going to be a satisfying experience for the patient. It's not satisfying for the doctor, but it's what the system is dictating. So that's not taught in medical school. That's taught by the business environment that the doctor has themselves in. And maybe they don't have a choice, but I'm sorry, if you're training for 12 years beyond high school to do a profession, I think you do have a choice in where you choose to work.
You know, it's interesting. I have a friend who's a doctor who was going through the mill, just like you're talking about, who got out of private practice. Well, didn't get out of private practice, but she and a couple of other doctors formed what they call a concierge medical practice. And that's totally different. And it's starting up. I guess it's been started up for quite a while. But the deal there is they take all the time they want with their patients. They don't have this 20-minute deal. And I know
right.
your practice is somewhat similar to that. Exactly.
Right.
I know.
Exactly.
Talk to me about
right.
that.
Because
explain it.
What we do in a concierge practice, we've made the decision, and it's a hard decision, that insurance companies and healthcare systems do not value education. They do not value that a physician wants to teach their patients about their diagnosis. So you may walk in and you've got a diagnosis of, we'll pick something easy. You've got a torn meniscus. Well, yes, that's pretty cut and dry. You've got a torn meniscus, but other factors go into it, like the muscles are overworking on your leg above and below, and you may have, you know, trigger points that need to be, you know, addressed, and you may have some hip malalignment, and it may be bothering your low back, and now you've got back issues. So realize it's never in a vacuum. Any one diagnosis, even when it's simple, is never in a vacuum, and you have to treat the whole thing. So knowing that that's what you're starting with, you still want to be able to say, okay, I want to talk to you about all of those other factors. Oh, well, you have to make another appointment in the traditional system. Well, in a concierge system, they can come in and I can explain all of that in great detail and lay out a plan and say, okay, first we're going to deal with, you know, injecting some placental amniotic fluid products, formerly called exosomes, into your knee, the proteins and growth factors of stem cells. We're going to repair that torn meniscus. Now, then we're going to address what that's doing with your muscles. Now, that may be trigger points. Let me do a quick exam, which will take me 3 minutes. Yep, you've got trigger points on your upper leg, behind. You've got it in your buttock. You've got it in your low back. Oh, by the way, you're going to need a lift in your right shoe because your, you know, your back exam shows me that you've got one leg shorter than the other. So, in other words, I can now take this to the level that the patient needs to hear, wants to hear, or they may only think, okay, I'm getting a shot in my knee, but then, oh, what do I do now about my leg pain? Oh, I guess I have to go get an MRI of my leg, or, oh, what do I do with my back pain? And all of a sudden, they're going to different healthcare providers who know nothing about the original knee issue and don't think it pertains. So why not have a situation where your doctor can spend all the time with you that you need to explain the steps necessary to treat your torn meniscus in your knee, but it's going to be that you may need no more than, in our plan, 6 hours in a year. Well, why should you guess when you're going to come in and what that appointment cost will be? The first time you come in may be a half hour. The second time may be an hour. The third time may be 45 minutes. Or we may do an exam and shots. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's that we can tailor what your needs are based upon what your health is telling us. So if you know you have 6 hours to play with for a calendar year or for the year you sign up year to year, we can take that and amortize that as a monthly payment so you're not paying a hit for that hour and a half appointment. Or you're paying the same amount as a monthly fee so you can budget for it. So it's easier for you to handle, like paying your insurance premium, but yet you can come in and spend an hour and a half and do what's necessary because that's what you need at the moment.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's interesting because this friend that I was talking to you about said she used to have 2,000 patients in the practice she was with. Now she has 300, and she loves what she's doing. So she sees a lot less patients, but she does a lot more for the patients she sees. So it's obviously a big advantage to her from that perspective. It must be great to feel that you can do that kind of thing for a patient, you know, and really give them complete care, you know, and make them your partner. That's what you do, too. You make patients partners with you in their health care, don't you?
Exactly.
How do you do that?
And, you know, right. Well, because you're asking them, okay, I've got this approach I can do. I've got the second approach I can do. Or we can wait and do those second, but do this approach, which is third. You know, we can do that and then come back to this. So what do you prefer? What works for how you want to approach this issue? And it's not me dictating when they may not have a comfort level with that approach. Or if it's something they say, well, I've already got a chiropractor that I'm working with. Great. Well, why don't you start with them while we're also doing shots? They can help assess what your progress is at the same time that we're doing what we're doing. And you're allowing them to participate in their decision-making of their health care. And that's powerful, very powerful, because now you're not just a helpless victim in your health care. You're actually part of planning your health care. It's a totally different approach.
You know, it's interesting. Your website, you point out, you develop a plan of action for your patients. And you develop the plan and then guide them through the completion of that plan month after month, and then if necessary, year after year, so that you know this month we're going to do this with you. Next month, this is on your schedule to be taken care of, I guess. I presume that's how it works out. But that's what the
relatively
RHM treatment focus is, right?
Well, right. And sometimes what that is we may be doing, you know, your labs this first time around. So we see what your foundation of the health that your body is telling us you are in. And then we may identify some issues, or you may say to me, gosh, I really thought that this was going to be better this time. You know, what do you think might be going on? And, well, you know, I think we might have to start looking at what your diet is doing, and we have to do some, you know, nutritional analysis, not just of how many meals a day you eat and when you eat them and how you emphasize, you know, lipids or protein or whatever, but we can test for that. We can do a cheek swab test for that that tells us genetically that's the way your body wants you to eat. And we can do food sensitivity testing by blood test that tells you that you weren't born with this inability to not handle wheat, but this is something your body has developed. And these are the proteins that your body cannot handle. And in cow's milk, these are the proteins that your body, you weren't born with the inability to handle cow's milk, but you now have an inability to handle these proteins. So you shouldn't have curds, or you shouldn't have a lot of milk in your diet, because you may be making yourself prone to diabetes if you have attack of certain proteins in milk. So we can get very, very detailed in what your body may be trying to tell you, but nobody's able to identify how to look for the issue. You know, we can do, like I say, the proteins of stem cells, which are placental amniotic fluid products, which can help regenerate a torn meniscus or help you rebuild cartilage from osteoarthritis in your knee. You don't need a knee replacement. More than 80% of the time people told they need a knee replacement, it's not true. They actually need 1/20th of their knee built back up, the cartilage, because that's where it's worn. But that can be built back up with proteins and growth factors from placental amniotic fluid-based stem cells. So that industry is now regulated by the FDA. The FDA is very aware because they've written the regulations, and those products are now back and able for docs to work with. So these are all things that we can easily do with our patients that are not commonplace offerings in the Western medical world.
I think that's great. Let me ask you a question. Before we started, you mentioned to me that you made a house call to see a patient the other day. You know, 30 years ago, and as I mentioned to you, my dad was a doctor. He used to make house calls all the time. At what point did that disappear in the medical community? I mean, because in general, doctors don't make house calls anymore at all, do they?
No, they don't. And honestly, I think that disappeared when the idea of insurance paying for everything, that said you had to do, but we were only going to pay you 80%, you know. So everybody thinks that a doctor's rates that are set is what they get paid. It's not what they get paid. It's what the insurance company will pay them. It's an agreement. So if you're getting paid a discount every time you see somebody and you've got to factor in your travel time and whatever, then you're not necessarily going to be able to have the luxury of doing a house call on somebody unless you're going into your private time, your evening time, or your Saturday time, or your Sunday time. And these days, when people were told, or this was kind of the evolution, when people were told your insurance will pay for everything, then they went to the doctor for things they wouldn't normally have gone to the doctor before for. You know, and then it got too difficult to get into the doctor, so then they wouldn't go to the doctor or didn't have insurance. So then people had issues that were getting out of control, so that when they did see the doctor, they were in worse shape than if they would have gone in the first place. So it's been a multitude of things, but I do think that the initial idea of you go to the doctor when you are only on your deathbed is a bad idea. And I think that was part of the issue. I think the idea that you go for everything on the other end of the spectrum is the issue that meet in the middle, that you know you have an issue, I know I need to see somebody, or in the case of the patient I did the house call on, she had some major, we'll just call it a burn issue to her feet and her hands, and they were wrapped, and she couldn't get in the car and drive, and her husband would have to pick her up and put her in a wheelchair to get her up to the office. So, no, I went to her. It was just the right thing to do.
Good for you. Very good for you. You know, your practice is RHM. It's a real health management. It's what you call it. And it takes into account how the world around you affects your health. And it includes your physical body, of course, which what we've been talking about, your personal relationships, I find that interesting, as well as psychological and environmental factors, including nutrition and exercise. It's really comprehensive. I'm amazed when it points out your personal relationships. Where does that come into play?
Well, I'll give you an example of the two patients that I literally saw back-to-back before we did this call this morning. And one is actually still dealing with the aftermath of what happened with a situation where 30 years ago she was had an unwanted assault, an unasked-for assault. It resulted in a pregnancy that she kept. And the aftermath of how that child has never accepted the story, has never accepted the life that he is leading right now, and feels that he is a damaged good. And so it has permanently damaged not only the rest of her relationship with her family, but it also has impacted her health. And it impacts her job security because she lives in a smaller town. So that is going to have a major impact. There was a 40-pound weight gain that went with that. Well, it wasn't hormonal. It wasn't just stress. It was a combination of a multitude of things that all had that perfect storm of causing issues with her health that were caused as much as 30 years prior. So that's one example. Another is a gentleman that was so stressed because his business was not doing well that he actually was neglecting his health, had come in a couple of years ago and very anxious, and he was actually in atrial fib. And when I said to him, no, I'm not going to draw your blood right now. I'm sending you to the emergency room. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Oh, doc, it can't be that bad. I said, well, when you realize that you are dead on the side of the road, then you will realize I was right. Oh, doc, you're scaring me. I said, well, that's the intent. I need you in the emergency room 5 minutes ago. Do you follow me? I said, get in the car right now and go. I am calling them to say that, you know, you're coming, so they will be expecting you. So, you know, but yet he still had other issues. He wasn't paying attention to his diabetes. He was going into some kidney failure. So life can get in the way. We all understand that sometimes we put things on hold while we deal with this fire over here called life. But it doesn't mean that you ignore what's going on over here, because your health is still what you have to have when you wake up in the morning, or it doesn't matter your house is on fire. You're already dead in the water.
My goodness. That's a very good explanation of your personal relationships and how a doctor like you could get involved and counsel them on those relationships. You also get involved in nutrition and exercise. I find that interesting. That's pretty amazing. You do that with everyone?
Absolutely, because realize your nutrition is one of the foundations of your health, just like your four hormone groups are the foundation of your chemical health of your body. What we put into our body has to be balanced and appropriate for our metabolism and for our ability to take in what we need, but not too much extra that we put it on our belly. And we need to be able to have proper metabolism to wear off what we do so we have healthy muscles and healthy joints. So it has to work in concert, because no one thing, no one part of our body works in a vacuum. And Western medicine loves to say, oh, you've got this symptom, I've got a pill for you. Well, that's working in a vacuum or in a silo. And we're not silos. We're a well-oiled machine that has to work well. If one cog in a gear is missing, the whole machine is off. Or another example is if you're listening to a orchestra play and they're playing Bach's ninth and all of a sudden one of the instruments is off, it ruins the whole symphony because that one instrument was off. So you have to pay attention to how individual systems work in order to understand the health of the entire body.
So are you honest with patients who come in and may be a little overweight and counsel them and say, look, you need to do more exercise. You've got to shape up and slim down a little bit. You're in trouble. I mean, would you do that?
Well, you have to. Yeah, you have to because if you don't say it in the beginning and now you wait until they're 30 or 40 pounds overweight, they're going to look at you and go, well, that all started back there when I was overeating with stress. How come you didn't say anything then? So sometimes it's a darned if you do and darned if you don't, but your job is to be their health coach, health counselor, physician, mental health counselor. We're everything to patients, or at least that's what I think I am to my patients. And, you know, I had a patient yesterday that walked in, and she said, Doc, do you remember me? And I said, I know your name. And she said, you delivered all of my children, and the last time I saw you was 20 years ago, but I knew her name. Isn't that wild? And she said,
wow.
And I'm back. She said, things happened, and I couldn't, for whatever reason, you know, be with you. And she said, but now I realize I'm in health trouble, and the only one who can fix me and help me is you.
That's
really, really a testimony.
And you delivered all her children.
Right.
But yeah, interesting, very interesting. I was going to say, I guess at times you risk offending someone if you tell them they got to lose weight and they got to exercise. But you're right, that's what they're coming to see you for, honest opinion. Exactly.
Right. If they want coffee with a friend, they'll pick somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, listen, I love your practice. I want to point out we don't mention that all the time that we should. And, you know, Dr. Monlock's website, it's very, very informative, and it's how you can get in touch with Dr. Monlock. She talks to people all over the country, as well as on the radio, as she's doing right now. It's rhm.care, and then her name, VJ Monlock MD. So it's rhm.care/VJ Monlock MD. If you go there, you'll find out all about Dr. Monlock, her practice, and how she can help you. Let me ask you, do you get a lot of calls from people in other cities who want your advice?
Oh, absolutely.
I would bet you do,
in fact, I did a consult for a gentleman in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So
really?
I've got patients. Yep, in California, in New York, in Texas, in Florida, all over. And it is as much word of mouth as it is people hearing podcasts, people hearing this national radio show and going, wow, that's really refreshing. That's what I'm looking for in a healthcare provider. I want somebody as a mentor, coach, but also physician. And that's really what it's about. You know, people don't get up in the morning and say, wow, I'm going to the doctor today. I really hope he tells me I need surgery.
Yeah.
How many doctors wake up in the morning and rub their hands together and go, wow, I wonder how many surgeries I'm going to get out of the office today. It's a disconnect.
Well, Dr. Monlock, it's such a treat to talk to you. You'll be back again with us next week. We're going to be talking next week about how to be proactive with your own health, preventative maintenance for bodies. That's what we're going to focus on next week. Next Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, everybody. Dr. Monlock will be back with us then. Till then, Doctor, thank you so much for being with us. I love chatting with you. You're the best. Okay?
My pleasure.
Thank you. You're welcome. That's it, everybody. Bye for now.